The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Professor Jeff Boats is here from the Department of Mathematics. And remember when we used to make the joke about how long your department's name was? It's just the Department of Math now, right?
I guess that's evolution. Is that an improvement? I'm not sure.
It reminds me of our old, branding phrase for the university, how every year they sort of knocked words off of it until it was just
things. Great things. Yes, yeah.
Boundless.
Boundless, absolutely boundless. How's it going, Jeff?
Not too bad. We haven't run out of infinity yet, so calculus classes are still going fine.
Well, that's good. Absolutely.
Calculus. We seem to have a never-ending supply of that.
Goes on forever.
There are different kinds of infinity, yes?
Very many, yes. There are an infinite number of types of infinity.
Okay, yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Totally makes sense to me. And I think, yeah, what did I go up to? I think I went all the way up to differential equations. It's Sister Loretta, Jeff, for that. Sister Loretta Sullivan.
So you wouldn't see the different infinities at that level. But yeah, there's... We actually have them, we call them the transfinite numbers, numbers beyond regular old, you know, sideways eight different types. It's kind of neat stuff.
That's pretty cool. What would be the title of a course where I could explore? Is that like number theory or?
I talk a little bit about it in math history, but you would have to get into set theory or maybe a logic class to start talking about that.
There you go.
Oh, dear. You're bringing back some rather painful memories from graduate school.
We're trying to live in our uncomfortability. That's what
symbolic logic for fun and profit.
Let me know how to profit. I'm interested in that. It is fun.
Symbolic logic. So it wasn't proving things within a particular logical system. You were proving things about a logical system, which was even harder.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I know very little about actual mathematical logic. All I know is I take one look at those papers and it looks like it's in another language. Wow. I literally can't even read them, let alone understand them.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how
I've got a nephew that teaches chemical engineering and I can't decipher the names of the courses he teaches.
There's a really funny scene in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel that takes place in a differential equations course, though.
Oh, now I got to research that.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do with vectors. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, that was near the beginning.
Professor Dave Chow is here from, of course, the Department of Insomnia.
Pleasure to be here, as always. So
you are the chair, the last time I checked, of that.
I'm the department, too, so.
Yeah.
Lord, I am, yeah, I'm Zombie Beth right about now. That's all, so.
Dave, are we going to see you on any episodes of Spooky Shows anytime soon?
I'm supposed to record one here in Detroit, but... Ooh. You know, I don't know where or when just yet. So,
ooh, let us know where.
Can we come watch?
No, you guys can't come stalk us on the show. I don't even know where it's at yet. You know, like I said, they contacted me pre-COVID and it's gone silent since. So, we'll figure it out. You know, they're still doing some shows. So,
well, if they need somebody to play the ghost.
No. We're okay. Okay, really. So,
Professor Jim Tubbs is here. Technically, Department of Retired, but also technically Department of Still Teaching Religious Studies.
Yes, yeah, still teaching ethics courses, yes, even though I'm retired. And I was surprised by finding I was going to have to do it online. So that's an interesting twist.
I did have, because it was extremely predictable, the first colleague come a few weeks ago. I'm not exactly certain anybody that you all would know say, like, yeah, I'm done. I'm not coming back in January, so you have a good life.
Because of online?
It's just, you know, that was one thing. Decided that? Someone did decide that, well, we were having a very vigorous discussion about someone had done a very large amount of preparation, like we've all talked about, for a very, very largely enrolled course, 174 students.
Wow.
And they said, you know, I really should be teaching this class again. I don't want to spend time that I need to be teaching the class right now prepping what I'm going to do differently for a different course in January. Like, this is nuts. And I could see on Zoom the look on the person's face kind of evolve, and, you know, got an email in my inbox a couple days later, like, you know, I was saying I was going to do this in a couple of years, but maybe I don't want to completely change all the courses I'm teaching next winter. And,
I think if they were offering the VESUP early retirement thing again now, they would probably get a lot of takers.
Yes, yes.
I'm not doing symbolic logic in the winter. I mean, I just didn't even want to. I'm kind of wussy for that, I'm sure. You know, Jeff's teaching math, you're teaching chemistry.
Sure.
Online, I just didn't really want to bother with it. So Dave's doing critical thinking again.
Okay, that's cool.
If we're still having to do this next year, I'll obviously figure out how to do it. I'll get a tablet or something from IT and you know, figure out how to make it work. But
a whiteboard you can use in your class.
You have one of those on Collaborate. I'm not quite sure how I can write on the whiteboard in Collaborate quite as quickly and easily as I do on an actual whiteboard with an actual pen. So
yeah,
perhaps I'm just a techno chicken.
Well, the alternative, Beth, is to use one of those empty classrooms that has a whiteboard and just prop up your computer with your camera pointing at you and the board. And then you can do it that way. Because there's on the third floor of Briggs, there's a lot of unused classrooms.
That is for sure.
I'm still not teaching it in the winter.
Professor,
unless you're going to be broadcasting from Acapulco or something like that, right, Beth?
Then there'd be the flop sweat issue again.
Professor Dan Maggio is also here with us today.
Hello, Matt.
He wanted us to know he's not wearing a polo.
I am not. Mm-hmm. But I have to ask, so the professor that's teaching a class with 174 students, was it? Is their compensation different than the professor teaching a class of 10?
It is not.
That seems really unfair. But
you think?
There are lots of unfair things in this world. Yeah. And there's lots of conversations we have since just in general with regard to the pandemic. You know, what kind of product are we delivering? And when I start bringing in the quantitation across many, many students, this professor recently remarked to me, you know, they're going to be your students next year. And we usually have, and it's very vulgar, I apologize, some sort of a like, not if you like fail a whole bunch. And the professor fought back with, you think I'm going to do that? Like, everybody's getting at least a B minus this year. Like, and I'm like, what are you doing? So it's going to be, I mean, Mary Lou Casper said this the other day, and I've been thinking it, but she verbalized it. It's like for the rest of these people's lives. Oh, you were in high school. Oh, you were in third grade. You know, I mean, it's going to be like that. Dr. Fauci was on CNN today. He says, do not expect to go back to a theater, major sport, or concert until 2023. The end.
Oh.
That seems right. Yeah.
So that's what we're dealing with here.
You know, I was thinking today, you know, that my parents could tell you exactly where they were when JFK was shot. And I can tell you all about the Challenger explosion.
That's right.
You know, and then of course 9/11, that was, you know, when I just started here, that was the college students get to remember that. And I think COVID, my first thought this morning was, I think COVID's going to be what the kids and teenagers remember, you know, when they first, you know, got quarantined. And then the second thought I had was, I sure hope that's the thing, because if it isn't, that means something worse is coming.
Exactly.
I hope COVID is their thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. In other words, you hope this is as bad as it gets.
Sure.
Bingo.
Professor Beth Oljar is here from the Department of Philosophy. We all know what she's not teaching starting in January.
That's right. Which I kind of miss, because I actually like teaching symbolic logic quite a bit. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have so much of a problem with the movies or sporting events thing. I want the restrictions to be eased a little bit more on entertaining at home so that I can have friends over a little more easily. I mean, Dan and Tom have come over and we ate dinner outside and we can socially distance within my family room, but it would be nice to be able to entertain again. This is so unnatural for human beings to be isolated in this way that, you know, I hope for everybody's sanity that those restrictions can be eased a little bit more before 2023.
Beth, you saw the almost immediate backlash this last week when LA County basically goes, the county around LA, we're not doing Halloween this year. And then all the memes start with, hey, we got the masks, we got the social distancing, we got the outdoor angle. Halloween is a go, man. Thought that that was interesting.
I'm still going to be buying 6 humongous bags of candy for here. And,
and Matt, have you seen those devices? You know, people are building the PVC tubes.
PVC tubes, so you can drop a piece of candy like up at your front door, and it shoots down and lands in the bucket of the kid 6 feet.
Oh, nice.
Pretty cute. Pretty cute. I tell you what, folks, this is a show where you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had Halloween questions not written by me. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email atp@udmercy.edu, find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by saying, play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We have another set of questions here. Dear Professor Mayo, and panelists, it's been nearly 2.5 years since I sent in questions. Shame on me for leeching off of your great entertainment and not contributing at all. I still enjoy the weekly podcast as well as the wit and wisdom of the professors. Have no idea what you're talking about. It gets me through the days here in Montana. Below are 20 for your show to use at your leisure. Thanks again for wonderful entertainment and laughter over many years. Our good friend, Laura Benson from Montana, sent these in. Thanks, Laura.
Where in Montana?
You know, it doesn't say. I'm trying to remember. I want to say that she's in Bozeman, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
I believe Laura is in Missoula.
Missoula? Okay.
Oh, okay.
There we go. All right. Let's see what we can do with these. What famous literary character sought the affection of Katrina Van Tassel?
Oh, Ichabod Crane.
Yeah,
Ichabod
Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
Yes. Oh. My favorite story of all time.
Van Tassel?
Katrina Van Tassel, yes. I think I freaked Emmett out, my youngest son, 3 or 4 years ago, because he saw that I had a picture of the Headless Horseman in my office, which I do. And he goes, why do you have that up, Dad? And I'm like, well, you know, I like Halloween. He goes, no. Why do you have that up? I'm like, well, I like that story. And he was like, it was the equivalent of like, why do you have a picture of the devil in your office, Dad? Like this look on his face, like freaked him out. I'll get my framed picture of Ichabod Crane some other time.
The autographed one.
Yeah, exactly. In what country would one find the world's oldest surviving daily newspaper since 1703? Whew.
England? Germany?
Yeah. You know, I heard Germany, it's pretty close. It's actually in Austria. Does anybody have an idea what its name is?
The Vienna Times?
Schnitzel?
I'm going to give partial credit for that. It's in Austrian. It's in German. It's the Wiener Zeitung is what it says.
Yep. Yep. The Vienna Times.
Mm-hmm. 1703 constant publication.
If you wanted it in German, I could have done it in German. Just saying.
I had to stop myself from saying it's in Austrian.
I would just love to know, like, and here's our 98-year-old newspaper boy or something like that, you know?
Or like
Ichabod Crane.
What U.S. city has the zip code 00909?
In Maine.
Be the East Coast, yes, for sure.
Or no, Maine.
No, is it Puerto Rico?
It is
Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's our East, yep.
Oh. Well, they're not Americans. Come on. Jeez Louise.
They get paper towels thrown at them, Beth. You know, they're Americans.
It will be again in January.
Yeah, right. They in San Juan, Puerto Rico, they have that zip code, San Juan.
And an awesome mayor.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Feisty.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 6 professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's program,
and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. The professors return to answer more questions in just 70 seconds. But first,
it's an Ask the Professor presidential election.
What former First Lady's home was considered neutral ground for North and South during the Civil War?
Well, we know it wasn't Mrs. Buchanan.
That's
because there was no Mrs. Buchanan.
Martha Washington?
No, no, the Civil War.
Oh, yeah, but her
I can see why you don't do free Civil War.
Yeah, right. Oh, but I thought her house had been preserved.
No, she was still around.
Oh, someone that was still there.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Todd Lincoln?
No, her husband had died in 1849.
Really?
Pierce? No.
Not Pierce, but the right last letter.
Polk.
Okay. That's right. Sarah Polk. The place was known as Polk Place, strategically located in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, conveniently.
Yeah, really.
It was the last thing to be conveniently located in Nashville, Tennessee.
Did Sherman wipe it out?
Vote and make your voice count. Election Day is Tuesday, November 3rd.
We have some questions here from Laura Benson from Montana. What U.S. product is known by these alternate names? It's called Alo in Turkey, Vizier in Poland, Daz in the United Kingdom, and Ace in Puerto Rico. What do we call it?
Coca-Cola?
No, no. It's actually a cleaning product.
Oh.
Tide?
What Detroit native portrayed James MacGyver, the father to the action-adventure TV hero MacGyver?
Jeff would know this.
Oh,
not the name of the actor.
Oh.
Yeah, name picture of the actor, him, but I don't know the father.
Yeah, Miss America, the guy that hosted Miss America.
Oh, my gosh.
Burt Parks?
Burt Parks, yes.
Nope, that's not what it says here.
No?
It says he is mostly known for Adam 12 fame.
Oh, Martin Milner?
Martin Milner is what it
says. Martin Milner.
Oh.
Who is the first female musician to have scored 3 consecutive platinum albums? Very, very big performer in the 80s.
Madonna.
No,
Whitney Houston.
Not.
Donna Summer.
Pat Benatar?
Those are all really good guesses, but they're
Stefan?
Right. No.
80s.
Initials L. R.
Linda Ronstadt.
3 consecutive.
Oh,
I
would have thought the 70s.
Earlier today, actually.
No, would that have been her Latin recordings, I wonder?
That's a good question. Yeah.
It must have been because most of her most popular pop music was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What river runs through Lyon and Marseille in France?
Jim, you were there.
The Rhone?
R-H-O-N-E. It's the Rhone.
Oh, the Rhone.
The Rhone, yeah.
Rhone River. They ran out of names. They just kept using all the R words. Ooh, this is a wonderful piece of trivia. I feel like we've never seen this before, and I'm never going to forget it. Which actor from the Lord of the Rings movie trilogy was the only person who worked on these movies who had met Tolkien?
Great.
Oh.
Sir Ian McKellen? It has to be somebody old, right?
It has to be somebody old. That's a good start.
Not him.
It wasn't McKellen.
Ella Guinness?
Christopher Lee?
It was Christopher Lee.
Oh, Christopher Lee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that he would have been a quote-unquote young man at the time. Tolkien, I think that's fascinating. Absolutely.
Wasn't Christopher Lee a member of the British Secret Service like back in the 40s and 50s?
Yeah, 1840s probably.
Well, he played Dracula and scared the heck out of me as a child.
Yes, he was really scary as Dracula.
Yes, the Hammer films. That was the real deal right there.
Scaramanga and Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who is the oldest singer to debut a song on the Billboard Hot 100?
Tina Turner?
Tom Jones?
Tony
Those I don't even know what to do with you all about this, but I'll see what clues I can give because Lara's done a good job of laying this out. This is from a 2014 EP of heavy metal Christmas cover songs.
Jim?
Christmas cover song.
Heavy metal?
Heavy metal.
Are you ready? It debuted at number 22. The name of the song was Jingle Hell. And the performer was 91 years old.
No way.
Was it a known name, or is
William Burroughs still alive at that point? Because he did a lot of music. No, he like did all sorts of crazy music stuff with people. But no, not him.
It wasn't Burroughs. It says, for the record, this person beat the previous record holder. We've already heard the name, Tony Bennett, shattered the record. That record was 85 years old up until that point.
Is the person who did this actually a singer? Someone who was a...
I wouldn't say so. Just Lara's having a little bit of fun with us. Christopher Lee again, she says.
Oh, no way.
Really?
Very
good. I never heard of that EP.
Excuse me, I have to go on YouTube for a minute.
I'm so curious now. I can't get over
an EP of heavy metal Christmas cover songs with the album titled A Heavy Metal Christmas 2.
Well, Jim, I guess I know what we're getting you for Christmas.
No.
Jim, it's chart topping. Oh my gosh. Which member of the Gilligan's Islands cast majored in chemistry during her undergrad years?
Tina Louise.
Dawn Wells.
It says it's Dawn Wells here. She majored in chemistry at Stevens College in Columbia, Missouri, before transferring to the University of Washington as a theater major.
Oh.
Well, and look where her career went. So, you know.
There you go. There is only one kind of orchid that is grown and harvested to generate food. Which orchid is it? This is a good one. This is a really good one.
Is it food or is it a spice?
I think you could call it a spice, but technically these flowers are grown for food, specifically for the food.
You're not talking about saffron, are you?
Nope, but that's it. We had that one last week and that was
Clearly, we have not watched enough Anthony Bourdain episodes.
Yeah, well, we're not getting any more.
Well, it's a ubiquitous additive to foodstuffs. You know, that's the way we get vanilla is from orchids.
Vanilla beans? No. Really? Oh.
Okay.
Really?
Wow, we're getting schooled.
That's a stumper. That's the first really real stumper in a while.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. What country had the first non-North America Starbucks?
Japan.
Yeah, that was a great guess. For the record, Japan starts in 1996, and as of 2019, Japan constitutes one-third of all Starbucks property. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I think it's amazing how all these tea-drinking countries are building Starbucks right and left.
Yep, they are.
What a living.
Uh-oh, I'm looking more towards the center of my screen at Professor Chow here. Which Canadian province has a unicorn in its coat of arms?
Oh, wow.
Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, one of the Maritimes?
Yeah, it's Nova Scotia. Okay. You got it.
That's where they're from. I always wondered.
We breed them there. So.
Yes, exactly. Oh, wow. Lara has done her homework. This is just, Lara, this is one of our best question sets that we've had.
Absolutely.
Name four of the five ingredients on the menu when you order a Buddy's Detroiter.
Oh, for the love of
Jeff.
Oh, well.
Cheese.
You're going to have to give me the cheese, Dave.
Oh, like a mozzarella?
That's not what it says here.
Provolone?
Mm-mm.
Parmesan.
The Detroiter. Does it have sausage?
Kielbasa?
Yeah, kielbasa.
Like Kowalski's sausage.
I just have to say, I mean, there's definitely cheese on it. So
we're going to get stumped here.
Correct, but you haven't given me a single correct ingredient.
How about tomato sauce?
Yes. Okay. Basil tomato sauce is on the
pepperoni?
List. Pepperoni is on the list. Shaved Parmesan and Buddy's Special Sicilian Spice Blend. That's
that sounds like a good pizza.
That does sound like a good pizza. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, if it's Buddies, chances are.
A tip of the cap to Buddies, because they're giving like 50% off to all teachers in the month of, it'll probably be over by the time this airs, but just tip of the cap to them.
It's a really good idea, Jeff, because I saw our colleague Jacob Kagi in biology actually posted, wait, you specifically chose one of the 30-day months? You trying to kill me? Like 50% off, I'm going there every day. This is a good one here too. As of 1 September 2020, who is the oldest living member from the TV show MASH? 86 years old.
Alan Alda?
No, Jamie Farr.
Jamie Farr is what it says here.
Oh. 80.
He is ancient.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. True or false? DNA can be used as a flame retardant.
Oh.
DNA?
Mm-hmm.
As a flame retardant.
True or false?
I think false.
This question is writing so many jokes I can't say.
Yes, I know.
I'm going to go off the chain here for a second. You don't want to hear this.
It can genetically encode you for all kinds of flame retardant activities, but
it's so weird. It's got to be true.
I don't know why anybody would want to do this, but it's definitely true. You know, it's a highly polar molecule, meaning that it has lots of charge in it, which can basically deflect the things that would be the kinds of atoms that would catch on fire. So it's anti-combustion. Now, we don't have a lot of it inside our body. It's a very, very small amount. Why you would want to harvest that and use it for that purpose is a different story.
Or who could afford to?
I mean, you could just get a fire extinguisher.
How about you just get some baking soda? You know?
Mm-hmm. Flour.
Here we go. Here's the be-all, end-all of this. Thank you so much, Laura. This has been really a lot of fun.
Man, these are brutal. Killing us.
I'm going to give you a list of people. They all have something in common. Let's see if we can figure out what it is. Rita Coolidge, Carly Simon, Nancy Sinatra, Sheena Easton, Gladys Knight, Sheryl Crow, Tina Turner.
They're all female.
They're all female singers.
They've all performed duets with the same artist.
It's not that they performed with the same person. They performed
the same song?
The same kind of song.
Rita Coolidge. There's a blast from the past.
You know what all these fabulous performers did? They've all performed the set piece song for a James Bond movie.
Oh. That's a great.
Because Carly Simon's is actually one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
Nobody does it better.
That's a great song.
Baby, you're the best.
That was absolutely, utterly awesome. Thanks so much, Laura Benson.
Those were great questions.
Unfortunately, time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Auf Wiedersehen, farewell.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Sayonara.
Dave.
See ya.
And Jeff.
I'm ashamed I didn't get that Bond one. I'm going to go ski down a mountain with an avalanche chasing me as punishment.
Now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of all the places where we live and work. But if we were actually here, we would be in the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Meyer.